Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, How Does God Speak to Us? And I want to ask, how important is it for us to hear God speak to us, His words daily? And what are the actual ways that He can speak to us?
God's grace be with you today. From God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, today let's take a few moments and look at how God speaks to us, how we can hear His words. Now, I think many Christians go through their lives, we know we hear God speak to us, but on the other hand, we're like, oh, if only God would just speak to me a word and let me know exactly what I need to do. The clouds part and a thunder roll and the lightning bolt come down and I hear his own living voice speak to me. Oh, wouldn't that be great? If only I could hear God speak to me. Well, let's take a look today and see how God speaks to us, because He may be speaking to us and we might not just be realizing it in a number of ways. So let's take a look today at especially seven ways in which God speaks to His people, so that knowing these from the Scriptures, we might be the more attentive to listening to it. Because Jesus says in the Scriptures, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, first of all, as we take a look at this, let's just remember how important it is for us to hear God's words. How important is it? Remember that story when Jesus was journeying and he stops and visits the house of Mary and Martha? And Mary's there sitting at Jesus' feet listening to his word. And Martha's running around, doing the dishes and cooking the supper and getting all the places set and all this stuff. And she's like, Lord, make my sister help me. Get her up. I'm doing all the work. And Jesus says to Martha, 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 you're anxious and troubled about many things. There's one thing that's needful. Mary here has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her. What was the good portion that she chose that he would not take away? Sitting at his feet, hearing the words of God. And we need them. Jesus says, this is the one thing you need above all else, to hear God's word. Remember, Jesus said in the desert when he's contending with the devil or being tempted by him, he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Romans 1:16. He says, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith. So how important is it for us to hear the word of God? When we hear the gospel that Jesus died and rose for us, it can take you from the power of Satan to God, from unforgiveness to forgiveness, from wrath to reconciliation, from hell to heaven. So this is so super important for us. Jesus says, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. If anyone keeps my word, he'll never see death. I've come into the world to bear witness to the truth, and my sheep hear my voice. Are you his sheep? Do you hear Jesus' voice? A stranger you'll not listen to, but you flee from the voice of a stranger. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. So we need to hear the word of God above all else, right? And we need to hear it pretty much. We want to hear it all the time. This is what we live on more than food. And so let's talk about seven ways in Scripture that God speaks to us, because we might not always be aware of all these different ways, and we might not be hearing it when he's actually talking to us. So you ready for seven? What's number one? I'll hold it up right here. The Bible. God speaks to us by Scripture. If you turn over here to John chapter 10, verse 35, Jesus says, Scripture cannot be broken. Jesus looked at the Scriptures, believed the Scriptures to be God's word. And the Apostle Paul said, all Scripture is God-breathed, God-spoken, inspired by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, and for correction, etc. Peter said, that no prophecy ever came by the impulse of man, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So when you open the words of the pages, these hallowed pages of Scripture, who are you listening to speak to you? This is God, His Holy Spirit, God the Father, and Jesus speaking to you personally and daily. So if you want to hear God speak to you, you don't go out into the wilderness and, you know, climb Mount Kilimanjaro and fast for 600 gazillion days. Although, you know, fasting's good too, but this is where we go, to the Word of God. You know, when I was in seminary and we had all kinds of classes, I don't remember any of them. I got the books back there if I need to refer to them. But you know the one class that was the best of all, which was not even in seminary, but I did it while in seminary, it was my devotion in the morning. And my hour at lunch between classes, I generally spent the whole hour memorizing Scripture. That was the best class of all. It served me more than anything else. Like God says in Psalm 119, it says, "Thy commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it's ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep thy precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep thy word. I do not turn aside from thy ordinances, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." So number one is Scripture. Do you guys hear God speak to you daily? Do you want to hear, Doug? Would you like to hear God speak to you? Then open the words of this book. God says, "I will speak to you here and make you wiser than the greatest of teachers that the world has to offer." And you know, when we're burdened by many cares, God says to us here, "Cast your burdens upon me. I'll sustain you. I'll never permit the righteous to be moved." When we're overwhelmed by the fears of the evils of the world, God says, "When these things begin to take place, look up and you raise your heads, for your redemption's drawing near." When we're afraid, God says, "I, the Lord, am your light and salvation. Whom shall you fear? I, the Lord, am the stronghold of your life. Of whom shall you be afraid?" And so when we're lonely, God says, "I'm with you always to the close of the age." God speaks to us in this word. So if you want to hear God speak to you, here's the number one way, is God by His holy word, the Scriptures. So that's number one. Is that it? Is that the only way God speaks to us? That's another way He speaks to us. Through people who preach to you the words that are written in this book. Right? Through human beings. Through people like myself or anybody who preaches to you and shares with you the Word of God. Is that God actually really speaking to you, though? Or is it just Greg up here talking? Well, let's read what it says here in Romans chapter 10. Let's turn over there. Paul says this, "How are men to call upon Him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching," or the Word, "of Christ." So if you're going to get the Word, sometimes God doesn't get the Word to people through the Scriptures because either they don't understand it or don't pick up the book. So He sends them a preacher to unfold the words of the book to them that they hear it. Now, when that happens, who's the one who's speaking? Is it just Greg up here talking or some evangelist that talks to you? It is, but it's really God speaking through someone whom He has sent. Don't you know? Of course you know this. The Old Testament. God says, "I sent to you the prophets. They gave you my word," He said to His Old Testament people, "but you didn't listen to them." Right? And Jesus said to the apostles, "He who hears you hears me. And he who rejects you rejects me. He who rejects me rejects him who sent me." So Jesus says, "I'm speaking the words that God gave to me. I put my words in you, and they're going to hear you, hear me through you." And so it's really myself who's speaking. You know, God needs to speak through preachers. I know in my own life, early on, you know my story, I knew the Scripture somewhat, but I got involved with some New Age teachings when I was in my early 20s and some Eastern readings and some Native American stuff, and I just didn't know the truth very well. I read the Bible, but I didn't really get it. And so, you know that story where I was on the on the this country highway in Maine, and the car got in an accident, and then my car was just limped up the road a half quarter mile. Beth was with me, and she brought me to the house of a Christian evangelist that she wanted me to meet because she knew I needed some help. And his name was Bill Wallace. He was a Christian artist who drew that picture in our narthex of the resurrection of Christ. And he took me that night through his whole gallery of pictures of the Bible, basically from creation to the fall of man, to the giving of the law, to the cross, to the resurrection. And he unfolded to me the scriptures by the pictures, quoting scripture and explaining it to me. And that was the night when I was like, yes, yes, yes. I can't believe I wasn't getting this. And I repented soon after, believed, and was never the same afterwards. But it was through a man. Does God speak to you? I mean, what do you come to church on Sunday to hear? Do you come to hear Greg and his 10 words of wisdom, or his, you know, his little diary or something? No, obviously not. You're here to hear the word of God. And that's why I aim, and with your help, to preach to you the word and to fill each sermon with scripture, scripture, scripture. Most of it is just speaking words of scripture enthusiastically. If you take any of my manuscripts here and you take out all my words, most of it is still left. It's just scripture. Paul says, we thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. And God speaks not only through preachers, but through Christians and your Christian friends. Have you had Christian friends speak to you the word of God? And then it seemed as if God himself were counseling you? Well, you know what? It was, if they were speaking in accordance with the words of this book. I remember, again, early in my days when I was on vicarage, I was really struggling in those days. Should I really be a pastor? Should I not be a pastor? Because as much as I wanted to preach the word of God, I was like, boy, the image they're giving me in seminary of what a pastor really is, according to them, this cookie-cutter image, you got to be indoors, clerical collar up to here, indoor stale air, never leaving your desk, never leaving your studies, never outside. I was like, ooh, I don't know if I can do this. And I really, really wrestled with that. And I actually talked with the council there at the end of vicarage that year. I said, should I really be a pastor? Because I have these real torn struggles a lot of times. I just don't know if I fit the image. And the council president there said, Greg, we've had 3 vicars. And they're all good. I'm not speaking poorly about any of them. But you're our favorite. He said, they were good academics, but we can relate to you. You definitely have a calling to be a pastor. So did God speak through his people? The whole council agreed, said the same. And you know what? That was God encouraging me when I really didn't know, should I be a pastor or not? I'm not sure. But God spoke through the council of his people, saying, we see a calling in you, Greg. Go for it. The Lord is with you. And it says in Scripture, in the abundance of counselors there is safety, and by wise guidance you can wage your war. In the abundance of counselors there is victory. So God speaks, number one, by the word, written. Number two, by people, preachers and Christian friends. Number three, God speaks to you another way. Let's read it. Psalm 19. Do I have it in here? I believe I do. Right there. God speaks to us by nature. Did you know that? It says, the heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. The sky proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. I want to ask, do you ever hear God speaking to you through nature? When you see a glorious sunset, or you see the beauty of a flower, or the dolphins sporting out in the sea, is God speaking to you through these things? Through his word, through his creation that he's made? The Bible says here that the heavens, the stars, are constantly preaching the glory of God, and the skies are constantly proclaiming his handiwork. And you can't hear their voice out loud, yet it's a very loud voice even so, if you have ears to hear it. You know, I've taught Naomi, when we go out on the river at night and we see the stars, we look up there and you see Orion. You know what Orion is? The belt, and he's standing there with the sword, and it's a warrior and a king. And I'm just thinking, Naomi, there's no way on earth that God wants us looking up there thinking that's Orion, some Greco-Roman god, which is really a false idol, right? I believe when God put the stars in the sky, he arranged them in ways and pictures, and it speaks to me. When I see Orion, I think Jesus the warrior king, there to defend, Lord of lords and King of kings. When I see the Big Dipper up there, I hear in my heart baptism being, you know, God's grace being poured over me. And the Lord's Supper. When I see Cassiopeia, does God want me seeing Cassiopeia, the W up there? Well, I think of that as the Omega, which is like the Greek Omega, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That's how God speaks to me. When I look up the stars, I see the whole of Scripture written up there. It's beautiful. God also says, Jesus says, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. At another place, he says, consider the birds. They have a lesson. God feeds them. He's going to feed you. He says, consider the lilies of the field, the flowers. They have a lesson for you. That God clothes them, he's going to clothe you. So God's put lessons, teachings into nature. If our eyes are open to hear, to see it and to hear it, are your eyes open? Maybe you could go out this week and look at the sunset. Look at the sea. See the sun sparkling out there like 1,000 diamonds. And listen for a moment and see what God would speak to you through that, always, of course, being in accordance with the words of this book. He speaks, this is my Father's world, says the hymn. He shines in all that's fair, and the rustling grass I hear him pass, he speaks to me everywhere. All right, so that's the third one. How about number four? You can tell how far we are in the sermon, right? Up to seven? So number four is your conscience. Does God speak to you through your conscience? Let's take a look at that in the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 24. Remember this story where King Saul was seeking David's life to destroy him. And David's hiding out in the hills, and he's up there in a cave, and Saul goes into the cave to use it for a bathroom. And he's going to the bathroom. And David's men say, David, now is the time when God spoke. He'll give his enemy, your enemy into your hand. And David went over there, and his people wanted to kill him, but David went up there and cut the skirt off of Saul while he's going to the bathroom. He must have been really concentrating on going to the bathroom, right? Any rate, then it says, afterward, David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put forth my hand against him, seeing he's the Lord's anointed. So how did God speak to David in this case? He smote him where? In his heart, in his conscience, he was struck. And does God speak to you through your conscience? When you do the wrong thing, you've all felt it, right? This terrible, crawling, creepy, dark, sinister feeling of guilt. And you just have to, you have no rest until you make it right. And likewise, when you do the good thing, there's a surge up of strength and a feeling of nobility and power. That's your conscience confirming it when you do the good thing. This is God speaking to you through his law and his what he's put inside of you. Number five, God speaks to us also by our experience. Let's read to that in Haggai chapter 1. Over here, God says, now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider how you have fared. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider how you have fared. In other words, look at your life and see how I've been speaking to you. You've been trying to do this and that, and it's come to nothing because I'm against you, he's told his people in the Old Testament. And he says that in order to bring them back to himself. Does God speak to you by your experiences? Can you look back and see how he's done that? I know I've counseled people over the years. Some have been, let's say, living together outside of marriage, as an example. And I've said, God says this is not the way. Let's go the way God says. Let's, you know, practice that in marriage. Let's talk about marriage. No, no, we don't want to get married, Pastor. We're just going to continue in this way. And try as I might to share Scripture, God sent the Bible, God sent a preacher, God sent the conscience. They turned all these off. But then about a year or two later, These people sometimes come back to me and say, you know what, Pastor, you were right. Things fell to pieces in my life when I went this way. Now I know that that was the right way to go, and I didn't listen. You know, sometimes God's school of hard knocks is the place where he gets his word into us, right? Amen? You know, we don't listen to the scriptures or the preacher or our conscience, but boy, life wakes us up. And God, that's another way he says, consider how you have fared. Let these things speak to you. And likewise, when we do right and God helps us, our path does get brighter. For the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. Number 6, what's another way God speaks to us? He speaks to us, what do you do at night? Go to sleep? Dreams and visions. God tells us this in the Bible. Let's look at Job chapter 33. Has God ever spoken to you by a dream or in a vision of the night? It says this in verse 15 and following. It says, God speaks in one way, in two, though man doesn't perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while they slumber on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and terrifies them with warnings that he may turn aside man from his deed and cut off pride from man. He keeps back his soul from the pit, his life from perishing by the sword. Has God ever spoken to you by a dream, in a vision of the night? When deep sleep falls upon you, has he opened your ear? Well, he did that with Abraham. Remember when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon him and God gave him a vision? It says of Daniel, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. And of Paul, it said, the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, don't be afraid, but speak and don't be silent, for I'm with you, and no man shall attack you to harm you, for I have many people in this city. Do you know that the beginning of the sermon that you just heard a few moments ago came to me in the middle of the night last night? I had my manuscript and things I thought ready to go, and God said, no, you need to put in there Romans 1:16 at the beginning. I turned over in the middle of the night. I wasn't sleeping, but I was kind of half asleep, and it just, a lot of the things I do in life or preach on or whatever are what I hear in the middle of the night when I'm just waking up, and I kind of wake up at 3. Does that happen to you? And I kind of stay awake till 4, and I try to sleep, but in that time, things are pouring into my mind, and I just have my phone, and I jot them down on my phone, and the phone is a note, lest I forget them and go back to sleep. Well, God speaks to us in these ways, so says Scripture. It shall be in the last days, God declares, that I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Always, of course, being interpreted in accordance with the words of this book, the written word. And then lastly, so we're getting toward the end of the sermon. Take good heart. The last one is God speaks to us sometimes directly to our hearts. Did you know that? Let's look at that in Isaiah. God just gives a word straight to us. And we hear it in our hearts. For example, this, in Isaiah 30, it says, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore. But your eyes shall see your teacher, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it when you turn to the right or to the left. You hear a word behind you, speaking to you, whispering to you the way that you should go. Do you ever hear God speak to you in these kinds of ways? I remember Betty Duda, she said when her daughter, Janet, at 4 years old, was very sick and in pain and she was going to die, she didn't know what was up with her. And she asked, oh, Lord, what's going on with my daughter? Will she live? And she heard just clear in her heart, not out loud, but in her heart, she heard leukemia and that she was going to go home to be with the Lord Jesus. And she went to the doctor the next day, and the doctor said, I told the doctor, I know what she has, leukemia. The doctor says, you're nuts. There's no possible way. Don't be worried about that. She doesn't have that. But he says, test her. Came back, and sure enough, it was leukemia. And the doctor's like, I can't believe it, but it's true. How did you know? Well, the Lord gave it to her in a vision and to comfort her because her daughter did go home to be with the Lord. But these kinds of things, we always have to test against the Lord. Against the Word. Because like when Beth was in her early 30s and she had a little start of a problem with alcohol, and her mom had had a problem with alcohol, well, she went up to the altar one Lent to give up something that she was just going to give up, and she heard alcohol. Give up the alcohol. And you got to ask, who said that to her? Was it the devil? Was it herself? Or was it God? Well, the devil wouldn't say that. He would want her to get caught, right? So that gets that one out. Could it have been herself? Maybe. But the thought very much surprised her. It took her by surprise. Could it have been God? Well, she gave it up, and it directed her in the right path. And so she believes that God spoke to her personally at that time in her heart. So God sometimes does that with us, puts a direct word into our hearts. One time I was sitting up here, and I looked around at the congregation. I'm like, I've been here 10 years, Lord, and we have no more people than when I started. And I felt a little discouraged. And right before I about to preach, I wonder where that thought came from. Well, then I felt like I heard the Lord say, look around again, Greg. How many of these people are new? And I looked around and I counted, and about 75% of the people in church were new. He says, you've been doing your work. Keep it up. I encourage you. And so I was like, wow. See, that took me totally by surprise. Would the devil have encouraged me like that? No, it wasn't him. Could I have done that? Maybe it was me. Could it have been the Lord? It certainly seemed like it, because it took me by surprise and very much encouraged me to get up and preach the word. And so God speaks to you in all these ways. He speaks to you by his written word, by preachers, by Christian friends, by nature, by your conscience, by experience, by dreams and visions, and directly into our hearts. Could it be that God is speaking to us more often than we're listening? Well, the good news is that God speaks to us so much because he delights in us. He loves us. He loves to give you his word. And by his words we live. And he encourages us in Christ. For all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus. And here's the great word we need really, friends, to hear every day. That Jesus died for your sins and he rose again from the dead. And that in him you have eternal life and good hope of the future and the forgiveness of your sins. For the saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he who has the Son has life. He who doesn't have the Son doesn't have life, but the wrath of God is upon him. But I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, says John, that you may know that you have eternal life. We'll conclude with this word then. Jesus says, my sheep, you hear my voice, and I know you, and you follow me, and I give you eternal life. And you shall never perish, and no one shall ever be able to snatch you out of my hand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, How Does God Speak to Us? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home, or if you'd like to stop by and just visit, Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, or leave a comment on this one, please visit our website at christlutheranchurch.capecanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.